that you encourage our hearts, that you speak to our lives, and that change us for the better. Father God, we know we haven't done all you've called us to do, but you said in your word that if we confess our sins, you will be faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, Father God, as we go into your word a little bit deeper today, Father God, we ask that you will give us a revelation that will change us on tomorrow. Open up our ears that we may hear. Open up our hearts that we may receive. Open up our spirits so that your will, not our will, be done in our lives. And Father God, as I open my mouth, you speak through me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And all the children of God said, amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Turn it back up. I can't hear behind me. Amen. Praise God. There we go, right there. Amen. Today, that's a little bit too loud. There we go. Today, we'll be coming from the book of Luke. Amen. Luke chapter 6. And I'm going to start reading from verse number 27. And I'm going to read the whole scripture so that we can get the full contents of the message today. Is that all right?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So Luke chapter 6, starting at verse number 27. And it reads like this. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemy.
Amen.
Jesus. That's all I'm going to preach about today. That right there. Matter of fact, the Lord said, go skip it on down. I'm not going to read all the scriptures. Just going down to just those two scriptures right there. Because I won't even have time to get through all that. So I'm not even going to go there. Just going down to verse 27 and 28 only. Amen. But to you who are listening, look at somebody and say, that's you. Look at the other person. Say, wake up.
Wake up.
Say, that's you too.
That's you too.
Amen. But to you who are listening, I say, tell somebody, Jesus is talking now.
Jesus is talking now.
Yeah, Jesus is talking now. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Hello, somebody. Lord, put in my spirit, because when I read this, I said, you want me to do what?
Right. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You want me to do what?
Right.
I'm going to give you the summary now, because see, some of y'all may not make it through the message. So let me just sum it up for you right now. Jesus calls us to an extreme love, to even love our enemies. He calls us to lay down our rights for revenge. Oh, I'm stepping on some toes this morning. Lord Jesus. And show us that God has already given us that kind of love. Hello, hello. While we were God's enemy. Amen. Amen. You want me to do what? Really? Today's passage is a tough one. And with everything going on around in the world, that's why I believe the Lord laid it on my heart. So I can understand it myself. What's going on? Amen. Is Jesus saying we are to give in to bullies? Is he taking away our right to self-defense? How do we deal with our loved ones being shot down just going to Walmart? Or out to have a good time in Dayton, Ohio and never make it back home? Are those who are abused and battered wives just supposed to turn the other cheek? Absolutely not. Jesus never advocates violence. In the Gospels, you always see him reaching out for the little person, the abused, the neglected. So what is he talking about here? Loving my enemy.
Right. Yeah.
Luke records this hard teaching as part of Jesus' sermon on the plain. This passage is very similar to the long sermon on the mount found in Matthew's gospel. Luke has left out some of the Jewish specific teachings since he is writing more to non-Jews like us today. Unless I got some black Jews in the house. Amen. 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 Both sermons in Luke and Matthew are probably themes Jesus hit on often over his 3-year public ministry. The first thing Jesus tells us to do is to love the unlovable. Hello, somebody. He starts off by saying, but to you who are listening, I say. He wants to know if we're really listening to what he's saying. He's going to give us some hard commands. He's going to give us a directive. It's not always easy to follow Jesus. Can I get some help in here? But here's what he says. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. You want me to do what? Are you kidding me? You want me to do what? Really? You want me to do what? That's the opposite, Lord. That's the opposite of what I want to do. Why on earth would I want to love my enemies? Do good to my haters. Bless those who cuss me out or curse me. Pray for those who have mistreated me, beat me, dogged me, and pushed me to the edge. Why in the world would I want to do that for somebody I don't even like that much? Oh, I'm the only one that felt like that, huh? There's some folk. If they walk in here right now, I probably would. Probably wouldn't be pastor too much longer. Because y'all be like, pastor shouldn't act like that. Amen. But there's some folk in our lives that know how to push your button. Hello, 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 hello. There's some folk. Don't play with me this morning. Don't play with me this morning. We all got some anger issues we got to work out. And the truth be known, some of y'all cussed somebody out this morning. And then gonna come in here, oh, blessed and highly favored, praise the Lord. Just finished fighting last night. Somebody just got on your last nerve. I ain't taking it no more. I ain't taking it no more. And we're going to come in church and act like we all that in a bag of chips. No, 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 no. We all got some issues going on. All of us can picture some folk in our mind, whether it was from the childhood or up to now, of some folks we would really just like to not. So why would I do that? Well, for now, consider doing it because it shows you really listening to Jesus. You're really trying to obey him because he knows what is best for us. It's an act of faith. I'll show you another reason later, but shouldn't it be enough to say, because Jesus said so, I'm going to try it. I'm going to try to pray for my enemy. But do good to those who hate me. This is taking the high road. It's choosing to show love, the sacrificial action kind of love that's talked about in 1 Corinthians 13, to show that kind of love, that agape love, to people who don't deserve it. That's some extra love. That's some extreme love. In verse 32 and 34, Jesus make the point that everybody love those who love them. Hello. Hello. You ain't got no problem. Well, maybe some of, we ain't got no problem. Everybody, Everybody is kind to people who are kind to them. Everybody loan money when they know they're going to get paid back with full interest. That's the world's way of doing business. But if you follow Jesus, do I have any Jesus followers in here? I got a few of us in here, some Jesus followers. He's calling us to a higher way of life. This has to be one of the most difficult commandments of Jesus, and that is to love our enemies. And if you like me, you'll find that most of the time it's impossible to do. In fact, if you can love your enemies just as Jesus commanded, please show us how you do it. Because you can't do it on your own. Can I get some help in here? Can I get some help? You can't love your enemies on your own. I need help. Anybody else in here need help? Loving. Come on, don't play with me. Loving. We need help of the Holy Spirit. Because if it had not been for the Holy Spirit in me, I'd probably be in jail. I'll be saying that testimony. Jesus came and paid my bail. Amen. All that kind of crazy stuff. Yes, yes, yes. I know I heard some people casually say, oh, yes, we should love our enemies. I don't have a problem with that. But let me quickly qualify this. We're not talking about a recent falling out with somebody or the ability to deal with an awkward person. We're talking about those who have been really mean to you, really out to get us, hell bent on destroying us for some reason or another. I'm talking about folks who have hurt you, who have robbed you, who have destroyed your life, who have messed up your self-esteem. Deep pain that still affects you today that happened 5 and 10 years ago. How then can we say I can love my enemy when it's still affecting the way I live today? How can I say I love my enemy when I still cuss folk out when they don't even do much more than just step on my toes? How can I say I love my enemy? What I'm getting at here is that if we're not careful, showing love towards an enemy is usually or somehow communicated as fear or weakness. And when a bully or an enemy smells that fear, it somehow encourages and strengthens and empowers them to hurt you even more. Can I get a witness in the house? And if you don't retaliate to this, then you have never really been tested. Hello. Hello. Jesus is saying here that when we are being treated so harshly and so unfairly, we are being tested. And it's a horrible experience. It's an experience where all hope can leave us, weaken us, and we have nothing left to fight with. We are directed to love our enemies because somehow, some way, that is where the victory lies, whether we understand it or not. And to make matters worse, as I said earlier, we're not talking about a simple falling out, although it includes that too. I'm talking about trials that can last for years and years. And so endurance and perseverance are also needed as well as that love for our enemies as well. This is truly a horrible topic, but it can be a horrible world in which we live in. Can you imagine saying goodbye to a loved one and now you're going to the funeral home? That's the way it was for a few families in El Paso. Listen to the testimony. My loved one said, I'm going to Walmart. I'll see you later. Later never comes. How do you deal with that? How do I embrace that? It's a horrible world which we live in. However, we are not to worry because Jesus tells us in John 16:33 that in the world we will have tribulation. Amen. But to be of good cheer, because he has overcome the world. Jesus managed to overcome a world that hates their enemies. But it is our world, and surely then it's a natural thing to do. It's a natural emotion. It's a natural feeling. But to love those who love us and despise those who hate us, Jesus tells us we are not of this world because we're in him. Brother and I was talking the other day, how can you be in two places at once? We live in two places at once. Amen. He said we're in the world, but we're not of the world. So that may be the way the world operates, but that don't mean that's how I operate.
Right.
Hello, 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 hello,
right.
Hello, hello, hello. But there's those whom we don't love. And it is to them that Jesus says, see those people who you love and look forward to being with. I want you to treat your enemy the exact same way. The love you have for them is the same you should have for those. Hello, hello, hello. Even if they don't love you back.
Right.
It's not natural, is it? Don't feel good. There are movies we like to watch where someone becomes a victim and somebody rises up on the scene and administers what we believe is justice. I'm talking about movies like Taken 1, 2, and 3. I'm talking about John Wick 1 and 2. Can't wait to part 3. I'm talking about Equalizer 1 and 2. He don't need to make a 3. Amen, amen. 2 was enough. Amen. I'll admit, I enjoy those movies, but that is a scene of revenge. It is a scene of what they think is justice or karma, as you know, as we say, what goes around. And I suppose we all like stories like that because when someone does something bad to us or wrong us, our first natural and instinctive reaction is to get them back. Hello, can I get a witness? Don't leave me here by myself because I know that's my first inclination. It takes the Holy Spirit to step in and say, hold on, Strayhorn. Because if I ever go by my first mind, hello, hello, hello. Some of us better thank God that he holds us back from going with our first mind. I have to really search the scriptures and what Jesus said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Then my spirit can say, Father, forgive them. Hello, somebody. Hello, 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 hello. Our first instinct is to make them hurt just as much as we have hurt. And that is considered normal in the world today. And that is why we like those kind of scenes. But Jesus turns all of this on his head and tell us in verse 27 to love your enemy. Do good to them which hate us. He's making sure you hear this scripture. Bless them that curse us and pray for them which despitefully use you. Our passage of scripture, Jesus is sharing with his followers how they are. And we are too supposed to respond to those who are our enemies. And as you can gather, it's not easy. Look at somebody, tell them it's not easy. Tell them it's not easy. The answer to this is given by Jesus on the sermon. It's a sermon recognized by many as the greatest sermon ever preached. And in this sermon, Jesus lays out some foundational truth for Christianity. And one of the foundational truths, And we got to get this right. And that's all I'm going to talk about today. Love our enemy. Amen. Love our enemy. How are we to respond? Jesus shares with us many responses. And you'll be glad to hear this morning that I don't have time to discuss them all. Amen. So I'm going to just talk about one. Maybe two responses. And maybe we'll get a chance on another Sunday. We'll come back and discuss the other ones. But this thing about loving our enemies, how are we to respond? We respond by retaining love in our hearts despite those who hate us. Amen? You got to love them. You got to love them. Now, I don't think for one second that this was any more popular with the Jews than it is for us. In fact, I'm sure it was worse because the religious leaders of that day was constantly quoting from the Old Testament. They was quoting the Old Testament commandments that was to love your neighbor and hate. I said, yes, hate. Read your Old Testament. It say, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Get an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And some of us still live by that Old Testament law right now. You get me, I'm going to get you. You kill my dog, I'm going to kill your cat. But Jesus contradicts this in his Sermon on the Mount and says that if we love those who love us, what credit is that to us? Because even sinners love those who love them. Hello, hello, hello. So we need to get control over our hatred and revenge. Tell somebody, get control. Tell them, get control. Some of us know we need to confess right now. We need to confess right now. Pastor, you just don't know how they treated me. You don't know. You don't know what they said about me. You don't know the bad stuff they put on Facebook about me. You don't even know what's really going on, Pastor. I gotta do something. They clap at me, I gotta clap back. Told somebody just the other day. They told me the same line. I said, you don't have to do anything. I said, don't respond at all. They gonna think, I said, what you care what they think? Does what they think have anything to do with you getting into heaven? The only one you should worry about what they think about you is God. I have an audience of one, and that's God Almighty. That's all I got. That's all I got is an audience of one. If I lay my head on the pillow at night, I'm only talking to God at night. That's the only one I'm talking to at night. All my haters and stuff, they way out there somewhere else. I'm talking, Lord, are you pleased in my life today? Have I done what you called me to do today? Have I given what you called me to give today? Have I done right in your sight? Because guess what? Your haters ain't got nowhere to put you when you die. Amen. Some will have the nerve to even show up at your funeral and get in line to say something. When Jesus called us to love those who hate us, he's calling for us to do something that's totally contrary to our human nature. Our human nature, as I said, wants revenge. Our human nature tells us that when someone messes with us, we got to get back to them. Because if we get back at them, they will know next time not to mess with us again. And besides, revenge is sweet. It somehow makes us feel better. But guess what? Hatred and revenge, especially if it's drawn out over time, is a horrible thing that literally destroys you from the inside out. Can I get a witness? I looked up some things as to what hatred and revenge will do to us. Look at the physical effects of hatred and revenge. Hatred and the need for revenge destroys us physically within. Hey, amen. Scientific studies have been done to show the danger hatred and the accompanying anger does for someone. At the very least, it raises your breathing rate. You know when you're mad. Hello, hello. It causes your blood pressure to rise, putting a strain on your heart. And repeated bouts of anger triggers headaches, leads into abusive behavior towards others. You're very short-tempered. You're very quick to cut people off. Amen. Anger can also cause a breakdown in your immune system, lowering your defenses, and causes us to be susceptible to various things that's just in the air. Anger and hatred do work together and truly weakens us physically, amen, if we're not careful. the emotional effect of hatred. Nursing anger and hatred can also destroy us emotionally. Hello, somebody. Because it wears us out. It's unsettled our judgment, which in turn confuses the issues and encourages us into making bad decisions. Hatred and revenge is also vital ingredients in fueling any embarrassing outbursts. Hello, somebody. That we may have. As anger gets a grip on us, outbursts in which turn can lead to guilt and shame and even depression. Hello, hello. And when we are in that state, we're not the most enjoyable people to be around. Amen. Is this any news to anybody? I believe some of us have already been there and done that. And it's not pretty. It's normal human life as we know it. It's a result of hating those who hate us. And keeping that hate in our heart takes us places we really don't want to go.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
The spiritual effect, amen, of anger and the need for revenge, because we are told throughout the Bible that the essence of God is love. Hello, somebody. God is love. And we are his children. And if we are harboring any hatred and anger in our hearts, causing physical and emotional outbursts, then where is that love? Where's the love? Where is it at? And if there is no love inwardly, then we are not demonstrating love outwardly. Hello, somebody. We will be demonstrating something else. Something we would rather not. Something that is contrary to God's command of loving each other. In other words, there would be a disconnect from God because we're not truly loving him either. And if we're not loving him whom we cannot see, then we're certainly not loving those who we can see. Some of our hatred is misplaced. Sometimes it's not the person we're really mad at. I got this from Pastor Lynch the other night. Our hatred and our impatience and hatred toward that person is not necessarily towards them. It's towards God. Hello, hello, hello. We have to learn how to forgive God. Not that God has done anything wrong for forgiveness, but we need to forgive God because he has allowed bad things to happen in our lives. Do I have any Christian folks in here where God has allowed bad stuff to happen in your life? Oh, I ain't got too many witnesses right now. Okay, okay, okay. Anybody ever been like Job, just minding your own business and all hell just break loose? You ain't done nothing? As the Bible said about Job, he was an upright man who worshiped God. But yet all hell broke loose in his life. And Job didn't do nothing to deserve it. But yet God said, have you considered? Do I have any considered folks in the house? Because you know all you've done was praise God and worship God. But yet bad things start happening in your life. Could it be that God called you out? And we got to be like Job. We got to be like Job. I'm going to wait till my change comes. Even when my friends come hating on me, telling me it's my fault. I'm going to wait till my change comes. He said, though you slay me, yet will I praise you. Somebody used to say. Though I'm going through, I'm going to lift up holy hands. And once we get a hold of that, everything in our lives start to change. Because I realize what I'm going through is just a test. And watch what God would do. Because if we have evil in our heart, Psalm 66 verse 18 says this, if we have evil in our hearts, then God will not hear us. Can I put a pin in it right there, Minister Kyle? Just for a second. Just for a second. I'm going to stay there for a second. Then I'm going to move on. It's no wonder then that God does not answer some of our prayers. I know this is some strong stuff, but it can explain why many of us feel disconnected from God. Not because we're not trying hard enough to please or contact God through our prayers and good deeds, but because we're harboring things in our hearts that ought not be there. Things of hatred and injustice and revenge. Now, I must say this. I am extremely sorry to say this, but some of those things that we are harboring may be justly deserved. In fact, most of the things in our heart is justly deserved, because bad things happen to good people, or even very bad things happen to some very good people undeservedly. It is a shame, and we do feel for them. But the only cure, as far as Jesus is concerned, for such injustice is to swap out or replace your anger with love. Why do I have to replace my anger with love? Well, because anger commands your thoughts. Can I get a witness in the house? Yeah. Have you ever noticed that when you're angry at somebody, you can't really think? I mean, really angry. And then that anger becomes your focus. It don't matter what's going on around us. The food can be burning in the kitchen. But when you mad, house dirty. Amen. Barely going to work. Can't stay at work because you mad at somebody. Amen. And all you thinking about is them. That's the only thing on your brain. That's the only thing on your mind. That's the only thing you can think about. Amen. People trying to talk to you. Man, you mad at them because you still mad at this person over here. And this person ain't done nothing. But you mad at them because they look like them. Or they did something to remind you why you was mad at that person. Now you mad at them because now they acting like that person. Every time you look around, you mad. You mad because something will remind you of what that person did to you. And then your mind is just all messed up. We become trapped in the hatred. In our own self-created hatred. It makes us then hard to function as a person and as a Christian and as a child of God. We've all been there, but don't let anyone tell you different, because it's the natural way of the world. But remember, we are not in this world or even of this world, because Jesus overcame the world, and it is in him who we worship today. He said, I am in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So we struggle to really love our enemies, as Jesus said, because we don't understand how or even why it works. Now, I'm not just saying for one second to cow down to your enemy or to back down or to even appease them. I'm not saying that. I'm saying stand firm against them and continue to do what's right and love them. But keep yourself right. Keep yourself pure. Keep that love and peace in your heart, regardless, because fueling anger and desire for revenge will only destroy us and help the enemy cause. Look what Ephesians 4:31-32 says this. Let all bitterness, wrath. I'm glad I got some scripture to back me up. Anger, clamor, and evil speaking be what? Put away from you with all. Hold on one second. I wonder why the writer, after he said, and evil speaking be put away from you, comma, with all malice. Because some of us, we can put away the bitterness, wrath, and the anger, but we still have malice in the heart. I asked somebody, did you really forgive them? Yeah, I forgave him. I said, will you go out and have breakfast with him? No. They didn't forgive him, did they? They didn't forgive him. And this line right here kills me. Pastor, I'm going to love him from a distance. long as they stay in their space. I stay in my space, we'll be just fine. No, no, that's still malice in your heart. You didn't totally give it up. Amen. That's why he said with all malice. Amen. Because we got to truly understand, I'm going to bury the hatchet, Pastor, but I'm going to leave the handle out the ground. So I can pull it out next time they mess with me. Now, that's why he said with all malice. I'm just trying to help us. I know this wasn't going to be no shouting message today. I don't want you shout. I want you to get it. Before this hatred thing take you over the edge and kill you. Jesus want to touch your heart today and make a change for the better. Because some of us going to leave here today and going to get smacked right in the face by somebody or something that's going to try to set us off. And some of us know it only take us a half a second to go to 10. I'm trying to slow your roll a little bit. Trying to calm you down. Instead of Jack going off the 10, how about counting the 10? One, Lord, help me through this thing. Two, Lord, you know I really need your help. Three, Father God, I don't want to go to jail today. Four, do something, either change my space or change these people. Five, Father God, I know you with me today. Six, for greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Seven, thank you, God, for just being good to me because I know I had some issues. Father God, number eight, I feel your presence in my life right now. Father God, give me the words to say. Number nine, number 10, let your will be done. You do that, I guarantee you by the time you get to number 10, everything done changed. Your whole perspective has changed. Your karma done come down a little bit. Everything is going the way God, and then you're going to end up saying something like this. That's okay, sister. I'm good. I love you anyway. And walk away. My daddy used to tell me a long time ago, he said, a good talker beat a good beat down any day. Amen. I've learned to talk to people calmly. Because that really makes them mad, don't it? Steam coming out their nose, this collar coming out here, and you just calm. What more you want me to do? How can I help? What can I do to help you? What can I do to make this situation better? If I'm making you that mad, then how can I correct the situation? What do you need from me? If you want blood, I can't give you blood. But if you need some help, I can help you. Through calm conversation. Amen. You put your enemies at bay. The Bible says it's like putting hot coals on their head and make them feel bad for the way that they've been treating you. I don't know how it works, but I just know it works. Amen. I've seen people I've blessed who just outright hate me. And I've seen how God said, vengeance is mine, said the Lord. And I just step away and I've seen their lives just turn upside down. Right before my very eyes, their life just turns up. Can I get a witness? I see you shaking, brother here, Brother Greg. I see you shaking. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen to people. And especially when God said, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. And I just tell people, you don't even know who you're messing with. You don't know, because any weapon you form against me is not going to prosper anyway. So it's good for you to just keep your mouth off of me. Oh, you ain't all that. I'm like, okay. And most of the time, people ain't mad at you. They mad at the God in you. They want to know, how can you be so calm with me cussing you out? They just don't get it. I'm trying to help somebody today. You stay calm and watch how God bring you out. Amen. I know tragedies that happen is just horrible. The thing in El Paso, the thing in Dayton, is just horrible. But we got to find a way to forgive and move our lives forward. Got to learn how to forgive. It's difficult, I know. And if you like me, you've probably failed so many times. But at least I try. Amen. And I know that harboring anger is not a solution. Otherwise, Jesus would have not commanded us to love our enemies as a basic fundamental principle if he didn't think that we can do it with the help of the Holy Spirit. God's not going to command us to do something that we're not capable of doing. Amen. So for now, I hope we can see a part of understanding Jesus' word to us. Truthfully, this is only an introduction. Amen. There's so much more to loving our enemies than this. I could have mentioned the whole verse 27. Do good to those who hate us, because we all got some haters. Right. Hello. Or verse 28, to bless them that curse us. Right. You got to really understand what this curse thing is all about. This is where people talk about you behind your back and talk evil about you and wish bad things on your life. Amen. Or pray for them that despitefully use us. Anybody ever felt you've been used? Can I even throw in the word abused? Amen. When we do these things, amen. Don't y'all be looking at each other over there. Amen. All these things will give us answers to loving our enemies. Amen. Even I could have went on down to verse 29 that says, give to everyone who asks of us. That's a hard one. I'm still asking God to work on my spirit with that. Amen. Amen. Because some people who ask don't really need. Amen. And then there's some folks who are on the corners who don't really need. God knows the world we're living in. Now, I can't cover this topic in just one short sermon, because I'm going to go home today. I'm done. But it's a lot that we can expound upon. We know that loving our enemy is the answer. That is the way to go. And I just hope and pray that something this morning enables us to do just that, to grab control of our hate and anger and learn how to love our enemies. Dr. King said this, love is the only thing that can turn an enemy into a friend. That's the truth. Amen. So we praise God for you today. I'm going to stop right there. Amen. I feel the Lord might be putting in my spirit that this might become a series. You want me to do what? Amen. And so we'll pray about that and see what the Lord has to say. Amen. But this is just a start. Amen. Give the Lord another praise.